If you're listening to music through a portable speaker, you shouldn't have to sacrifice great sound. That's why I love my Sonos Roam. I can listen to JJ Cale's Naturally or Leon Russell's Carney and hear the Tulsa sound the way it was meant to be heard. Experience the best sound anywhere, everywhere with Sonos Roam, the ultra-portable smart speaker for all your listening adventures. Visit Sonos.com to learn more and shop Roam in three new exclusive colors.
Double Elvis.
In 1968, the Greenwood Archer Pine Band was one of a handful of all-black groups packing crowds into the sweatbox clubs that lined Admiral Street, downtown Tulsa's unofficial dividing line between the north and south side, between black and white. The line was usually rigid, but it could blur a bit on Admiral on the weekends, especially when the band with the comically long name started pumping out an undeniable, irresistible groove. The long band name on the marquee would not have meant much to the white couples waiting in line. They may have recognized the three words as three streets not far from here, but to everyone else in line, the meaning could not have been more clear. Greenwood, Archer, and Pine, aka the Greenwood District, aka Black Wall Street, the richest black community in America in 1921, until white supremacists burned it down to the ground in a 16-hour violent terrorist attack urged on by city leaders. 50 years later, on the south side, the massacre was completely forgotten. It's not that there weren't signs. They just didn't see them, even when they were in big black letters on the marquee.
Would I like to go to Tulsa? You bet your boots I would. Let me off at Archer, and I'll walk down to Greenwood. Take me back to Tulsa. Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys.
In 1926, an enterprising Tulsa oil magnate named Cyrus Avery, along with two associates, proposed an audacious plan for a new interstate running from Chicago through Tulsa to Los Angeles, the iconic Route 66. Tulsa, long separated by unflinching lines of segregation, was suddenly connected to a surge of new travelers from all walks of life. The city welcomed the new spending these travelers brought, but smuggled into the back seat were the same cross-cultural connections city leaders had tried to stamp out with the destruction of Greenwood. People carrying music, customs, and the desire for a connected life flowed through the city. Meanwhile, in Texas, a fourth-generation fiddler and band leader named Bob Wills was imagining a new sound. Wills grew up poor, one of the few white families working the cotton camps of Texas's so-called Black Belt. Music was cheap entertainment, and the Wills family passed the time with their neighbors trading frontier fiddler songs for old Texas blues numbers. Now Wills imagined amplifying that blend of music he'd grown up with using horns, drums, and a brand new instrument, the electric slide guitar. He knew he was onto something, but his first attempt nearly ruined him financially. It wasn't until 1934 that he finally procured a second chance. Poetically, it was a midnight test broadcast for Tulsa's KVOO on February 9th, when Will stepped to the mic with his new 12-piece band, the Texas Playboys. The band hit their first downbeat and launched the big bang of Tulsa music. And that universe is still expanding to this day with stars like
Leon Russell,
JJ Cale,
The Gap, the
Garth
Gap,
Brooks,
The Tractors,
Jesse Ed Davis,
John Moreland,
J.D. McPherson,
John Fulton,
St. Vincent,
Ronnie Dunn,
Red Deer Rangers,
Jim Keltner,
Wayman Tisdale,
Ann Bell,
Carl Radel,
Seth Lee Jones,
Aaron O'Dowd,
Jacob Tobin,
Steph Simon,
Steve Pryor,
Paul Benjamin Band,
King Cut,
Dwight Twilley,
The Nixons,
and
Mbop,
because no way did we forget Hanson.
The sound Bob Wills heard in his head in 1934, that not quite blues, not quite country rhythm, those lush, jazzy arrangements, and the raw energy of dueling fiddles and later guitars, contained the building blocks of nearly all the music to come out of Tulsa since. Fast forward a few decades to the 1960s and it was called the Tulsa Sound, popularized by Leon Russell and laid-back guitar maestro J.J. Cale. By the early 90s, red dirt music, with groups like the Tractors and the Red Dirt Rangers. Today, these building blocks are evident in the roots rock of songwriters like John Fulbright, and guitar slingers like John Benjamin, or the jazz hip-hop hybrids featured on the stunning 2001 Fire in Little Africa compilation, with more than 30 Tulsa artists participating, and produced by local hip-hop impresario Steph Simon. Once again, we find ourselves in a city that needs to surface and process trauma. and there to give voice, guide, and energize the healing is a vibrant and diverse music scene. And you can sure still honky-tonk and two-step around town, but like all of us and everywhere, Tulsa contains multitudes. This is Sound of Our Town. It is a podcast about the music that shaped the city you are touching down in. It's also about finding, hearing, and experiencing its best live music happening right now. What sounds and places have shaped this city's culture, and what new sounds continue to define it. It's about getting together in a room to listen and why that matters so much right now. In each episode, I'll introduce you to the real places and sonic stories echoing in a particular town so that your travel is enriched with music. I'm your host, Will Daly. I'm an independent DIY songwriter and touring artist. I've been doing this for a while, and frankly, this show is also a reminder to myself about how important live music is in our existence. The business, the road, the country of it all, it can kick you around, but the crowd never lets you down when you come with some truth. And this is episode 11 of season 1, and we are visiting Tulsa, Oklahoma. Rolling into a new city can be a lot. Returning to a town where you have memories that have faded can be even stranger. This show, and specifically this part of the show, exists to alleviate those stresses, to welcome you to a part of town that doesn't overwhelm, or a room or space that is the ideal jumping off point for the city. Spaces that might contain the very reason for your arrival. And a little of the familiar in a place brand new to you can go a long way. So, for your first stop, we'll bring in two artists who never spent a lot of time in Tulsa, but who are so enmeshed in not only the city's current artists and culture boom, but the nation's, and songwriting as a whole. Incredibly, Tulsa is home to not one but two of the most iconic and important archives of musicians in popular culture. Only a few years younger than Bob Wills, Woody Guthrie was born an hour south of Tulsa, in Okima, Oklahoma, in 1912. His work as a poet, reporter, and songwriter during the horrific Dust Bowl of the 1930s forever linked him with his native Oklahoma, even though he spent most of his adult life traveling or living on either coast. In 2013, the Woody Guthrie Center was opened in Tulsa's Art District, and today it hosts a public museum with permanent exhibits on the life of Guthrie, as well as rotating exhibits on songwriters who share his mission of diversity, justice, inequality. It also hosts regular lectures, special events, and concerts with the likes of Lucinda Williams, Alison Russell, and John Doe. There are even exhibits to the many artists who are indebted to Guthrie, including a Springsteen section, whose town we visited earlier this season. Yo, it's all connected. And be sure to grab a headset for the Dust Bowl exhibit. It elevates the whole immersive experience. But our first stop isn't complete without including the center celebrating a bard who was an absolute Woody Guthrie obsessive. Bob Dylan moved to New York at 19 to track down Guthrie. And legend has it, he even befriended the singer-songwriter who was near death from Huntington's disease. So it is quite lyrical that in May of 2022, the Bob Dylan Center opened next door to the Guthrie Center. The spirit is in the neighborhood. When you land in Tulsa, they let you know you are in the vicinity of the Shakespeare of songwriting, with signage in the airport and on the highway. But it's the momentum connection of going from Guthrie to Dylan that makes the giant 16-foot iron sculpture that greets you upon entering even heavier. It's not a song or a photo of Bob or a lyric or a hologram that greets you, but a completely different art medium entirely that he created that you can touch and push and pull on. It is a gateway into Dylan right away, telling us that the artist is not just one thing, a slave to their own brand, feeding an algorithm. And maybe Tulsa isn't either. The Bob Dylan Center is an immersive experience. Your first moment after checking in is a 22-minute film by Jennifer LeBeau, with three giant screens wrapped around you, getting you hyped up and choked up for the rest of your journey through. Like diving into all of his versions of Joker Man, because yes, sometimes you do pull songs down from the heavens like Townes Van Zandt, and sometimes it's a lot of work bending sounds and words to your will. This exhibit allows you to see all of Dylan's work and versions of Joker Man. And there's a recording studio with an actual board where you can play producer, and you can fade and pan and mute through all the tracks of a song, and solo out all the musicians and their unique performances that make a single song come to life. There's a jukebox, curated by Elvis Costello. Yeah, it's strange that a living deity who walks among us, who is still on tour, a guy who didn't even show up for his Pulitzer, has his own museum. But like all of the art we absorb, once it's amplified, it is bigger than the artist. This special first stop combo sends you off into Tulsa with that perspective. A space that will forever pull Dylan heads and the Dylan curious into this mighty city, where they will also feel the weight of our nation's struggles. Struggles that these two artists put into song, gifting us with a connection to navigate it and move forward. Everything is a continuation, all of us connected, and all of us carry responsibility for that connection when we go out into town. So up next, we'll take you to a little juke joint with a lot of history and music every night of the week. Why has more than one Beatle made their way to an English pub in the middle of Tulsa, Oklahoma? Well, we'll find out when we return.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, I'm home.
Everyone knows that it's Dad's job to be a bit of a joker.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. There was an accident at the factory. Monty fell into the upholstery machine. Don't worry though, he's fully recovered.
Good one, Dad.
Did you get the pizza for dinner?
So he likes to keep everyone happy with some dad jokes.
Yep, right here. I had a coupon, and it saved me a lot of dough.
Well, the truth is, Dad is just a fun guy.
Hey, I'm not a mushroom.
Please stop. Where does he get these stupid jokes from?
He listens to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast.
Oh, great. More dad jokes for me.
We've delivered over 15,000 jokes to over 3 million listeners, and man, the postage fees are killing us. Listen to the Daily Dad Jokes podcast every day on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I get to make the rules, we're going to bend them a little for our coveted no-cover spotlight. The Colony is free most nights, but occasionally they will throw a cover at you, but usually it's less than $5, and you are strongly encouraged to tip the band. so bring some folding money. This grimy little British pub, located in a strip mall parking lot far from the glitz of downtown nightlife, has an incredible history. First opened in 1958 under a different name, it gained local legend status in 1972 when Leon Russell bought the club after opening Church Studios nearby. And yes, we'll get to Church Studios. Nowadays, grab a tray of beer and slide into one of the old-time wooden booths. If you hang around long enough, you'll hear the stories of jaw-dropping impromptu post-recording session jams with Russell and Eric Clapton, Taj Mahal, and George Harrison. It's hard to separate fact from fiction, but what's indisputable is that the club continues to stand as a monument to the same Tulsa sound pioneered by Bob Wills, Russell, and so many others. The Colony captures the local music feel of this town. On Friday and Saturday nights, an up-and-coming local band tests their mettle on the tiny corner stage, and the rest of the week is anchored by residencies, including local guitarist Paul Benjamin's Sunday Night Thing. Benjamin is among the best of the latest crop of Tulsa guitarists to follow the legacy of the likes of J.J. Cale, Jesse Ed Davis, and Steve Pryor. And his long-running Sunday Night Show features special guests every week and enough instrumental firepower to blow the roof off the tiny club with the huge history tucked away in Tulsa's midtown. A spot that is reason enough alone to travel to Tulsa. Two rooms to get your face melted in Tulsa. The Mercury Lounge will no doubt feel familiar to anyone who has spent time in Austin. Open in 2009, it is a consistent venue among an ever-changing lineup of bars and restaurants in the 18th and Boston district. With open garage doors that spill out onto a front patio, the small, squat building retains the feel of the mechanic shop it was originally. Band stickers are plastered on just about every surface inside the building, which is dominated in the center by a large square bar from which bartenders dispense an endless array of fireball shots and PBRs. To the right is a small stage with a huge face-melting output. Over the years, Tulsans have been able to see songwriters like John Moreland hone their craft before attracting national attention, or artists like Seth Lee Jones and Jacob Tovar bringing the Tulsa sound lineage to a new generation. Plus, there are frequently nationally touring acts. And look, heaviness is the precursor to having one's face melted, and like all things over time, the origin mutates to include someone with a solo guitar or a DJ booth doing the melting. But we need to always be aware of the beginning, the history, the true source of the heaviness. That's why, in the Kendall Whittier neighborhood, it's important to fit the Whittier into your live music plans. Nick Flores has turned this room into a hard rock haven for fellow Tulsans who want to thrash. In addition to local metal, rock, and punk bands, the club has hosted hardcore legends Death Before Dishonor and up-and-coming punk acts like Mannequin Pussy. All beneath the shine of a stamped tin ceiling and, against the wall, those vintage Elvira and Alice Cooper-themed pinball machines that oddly make me feel right at home. I don't know what that says about me, but with so many corporate venues and high ticket prices around the country, slapping the bumpers for Elvira with a cheap beer, heavy riffs, and a guttural scream starts to feel like a rare luxury. By starting your time in the reverence of our first stops, it tunes you into the listening muscles that are so atrophied in our tyranny of content. And after some time with some Guthrie and Dylan, maybe some headbanging at the Whittier, you're ready to sit down and really listen. Exist in the silences in between the notes. A new entry to the scene is Lowdown, a classic New York-style jazz club. Opened earlier this year, it boasts one of the more upscale vibes in town with cocktail table seating. Alongside more traditional jazz, check out series like Jazz in Little Africa, which features local guitarist Chris Combs, collaborating with Tulsa's leading MCs like Steph Simon, and King Cut on nights that push the ever-evolving Tulsa sound into new sonic terrain. And most of the music in Tulsa has been made in tiny juke joints, where the band doesn't ask the crowd to quiet down so much as they turn up until the music is all you can hear. But even the most diehard music fans gotta take the earplugs out and take in something beautiful in front of a hushed and reverent crowd. Longtime local songwriter and folk DJ Scott Acott has been running just these type of events for years under his House Concert Unlimited banner. If you're lucky enough to pass through town when a show is on the calendar, snap up a ticket and see folk veterans like Ray Bonneville or Tim Easton. And make sure you bring food, beer, or wine for the potluck. And feel that evolutionary sonic line from your first steps in the spiritual cerebellum of Guthrie and Dylan to the songwriter right in front of you as they weave stories familiar and forgotten. We've arrived at the Vatican of Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it can be no other than Kane's Ballroom. For nearly 90 years, the house that Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys built has stood nearly unchanged. It still boasts a spring-loaded maple dance floor, iconic neon signage, and an unmatched mojo apparent to any music fan who enters these hallowed halls. And mojo has a frequency all its own, so let's tune our cosmic radios to it for a moment, here at Kane's, and let the years roll from left to right across the dial.
And now, friends, here's Will. Take it away, boys. Take it away.
Happy New Year's Eve. Cosmic Kane's Radio coming to you live from Kane's Ballroom at 423 North Main Street in Tulsa. Good riddance to 1935, we say. It's been another tough year. But from Bakersfield to Baton Rouge, one bright spot has been the good times brought to us by Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys. Ever since their first broadcast last year, they've ruled the airwaves with that new Western swing that only they can bring. And for the very first time tonight, they'll come to you live from Kane's Ballroom. Crank that dial just a bit to the right, and in 1936, they'll be coming to you live from Kane's 5 times a week at noon. And on Thursday and Friday nights, all pumping out 5,000 watts across the American Southwest. Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys are the hottest band in the land. And tonight at Kane's, there'll be 1,500 pairs of boot heels on the dance floor to kick off this party. It's a party that Bob and his brother Johnny Lee will keep taking back to Tulsa until the 1950s. When the signal finally starts to fade and it's time to change the champ. Summer's over, Daddy-O. It's time to go back to school in 1959 here on Cosmic Kane's Radio, so we got some education of the rhythmic variety going down tonight for you Hepcats. The killer, Jerry Lee Lewis, is in town and he's got that old swing from Mom and Dad's Bob Wills record souped up with a whole lot of shaking going on. Kicking off the night are some Tulsa boys playing a song for you, including newcomers Claude Leon Russell on piano and Johnny J.J. Cale on guitar. Slide your dial a decade or so to the right and that Tulsa sound is drawing everyone from George Harrison to Tom Petty and Eric Clapton to record in Tulsa. All that electricity, that energy, that amazing music starts right here. Something about the way these Tulsa boys are laying down that beat, not quite country, not quite blues, gets Jerry Lee feeling all right. He hires the band on the spot for the rest of the tour. They hit LA and make history with the Wrecking Crew and come back home to put Tulsa on the map. Wild times to come. But if we're counting down the wildest night in Kane's history, then it's January 11th, 1978. You're number one with a pistol. You've got it tuned to Cosmic Kane's Radio, and it's a snowy night here in January 1978, so be careful, you rotten little rockers, when you're hauling those Econoline vans downtown, because the band your preacher loves to hate, the Sex Pistols, is about to hit the stage like a wrecking ball. So bring $3 cash, walk past those Jesus Saves banners, and hit the spring-loaded floor to pogo your brains out along with Sid, Johnny, and the gang. Sid Vicious is looking pretty vacant, but don't worry, the band rips into a brawling, riotous set, leaving their mark in Kane's history. And Sid, well, he leaves his mark in a more literal way, punching a hole in the backstage wall on the way out. In the end, less than 1,000 of you teenage anarchists are gonna brave the weather and the protesters to buy a ticket. But after the band breaks up 3 days later, at least 100,000 will say they were there. Lucky you got that ticket stub to prove it. You didn't lose that ticket stub, right? Well, thanks for listening to Cosmic Kane's Radio. Join us later this week for ladies' professional wrestling on Thursdays and pig races on Sunday. It's Cosmic Kane's Ballroom all the way on the right side of your dial, October 13th, 2019. You heard it here first. Jack White just declaring Kane's Ballroom is his favorite place in the world to play. His band, the Raconteurs, are kicking off their latest leg of their reunion tour with a sold-out three-night stand. Rumors are buzzing, the shows are being recorded for a live album on White's Third Man Records, and the crowd has already started to pour in. They walk in under the same red and white neon sign that has seen a thousand shows. They pass the front lobby and the hole punched by Sid Vicious. Their shoes scuff the wooden dance floor that's been scuffed by so many other boots over the last 90 years. The lights dim, and for a split second before the band kicks into a roaring night of rock and roll, all we hear is mojo. A frequency you can tune into at Kane's Ballroom forever. There are some great spots worth visiting in Tulsa that might not pop up on your venue search. Like Guitar House of Tulsa, a must for vintage guitar freaks. You peruse immaculate vintage gear, including guitars formerly owned by J.J. Cale, and owner Drew Wynn is a wealth of information on musical instruments in Tulsa music history. And if you're traveling with kids, plan to make time for the Gatherer Place, a one-of-a-kind complex filled with a variety of playgrounds and skate parks that you may find yourself returning to more than once. For a true hidden gem on the music scene, though, check out Horton Records, a local nonprofit label that supports local artists with recording and management needs. The label hosts some great concerts in the unlikely setting of Tulsa's local VFW Post 577. The homey, intimate space almost feels like a miniature Kane's Ballroom. The perfect setting for Horton Records' monthly concert series and events like their annual T-Town Glitter Down and Midnight Chuggle. A mix of concert, dinner party, and late-night jam that features modern Tulsa sound purveyors like Jesse Acock, Seth Lee Jones, Dustin Pitsley, and more. If all this talk has given you the urge to live in Tulsa time for a few days longer, let's give you a couple highlights to plan your trip around. On November 5th, you've got a great opportunity to see Kane's Ballroom packed with Tulsa talent for the annual Horton Records Rock and Folk and Chili Cook-Off. There's a chili contest for the pros, plus a musicians division, and this year the night will end with a tribute to the legendary guitarist, J.J. Cale. Tulsa Mayfest, the free annual street festival, will return for its 50th year May 6th and 8th, with visual art, street vendors, and three stages of music spread throughout downtown, featuring local performers and headliners like Tulsa's own Hanson and Jason Isbell. And speaking of free, check out free concerts May through October at Guthrie Green, directly across from the Woody Guthrie Center, always featuring local artists alongside touring acts like Marcus King and Sonny Landreth. In mid-July, head an hour south of Tulsa to Woody Guthrie's hometown of Okemah for the annual Woody Guthrie Folk Festival, Woody Fest to the locals, and experience a folk festival and a fitting tribute to the patron saint of Oklahoma music. And for the next generation of Oklahoma movers and shakers, the Dreamland Festival, put on by Steph Simon and the crew behind Tulsa's seminal hip-hop compilation, Fire in Little Africa, just kicked off the first annual Dreamland Festival this fall, which features a range of hip-hop, jazz, and panels on the music business and equity. And the 2023 edition promises to build on this expansive vision even further. Now, in every episode, I do like to prepare you for your trip, not because I want to give you more homework, but because I just want to complete the experience for you. I'm going to assume that you have an outstanding Gap Band playlist for your headphones while you're walking down the streets of Tulsa, that you've spun Leon Russell and J.J. Cale while you're packing. You could dive into another reading of The Outsiders for a profound portrait of Tulsa in the 1960s as written by S.E. Hinton at the age of 16. There's the autobiography I Am Charlie Wilson, where the Gap Band founder with the timeless voice takes a journey through all his adventures in Tulsa and beyond, with artists like Stevie Wonder, Snoop Dogg, and the Rolling Stones, and the highs and lows of a life in a business that can be as punishing as it can be rewarding. What I'm most excited about is my pre-order, maybe a regular order depending on when you're listening, for the definitive biography of the legendary Leon Russell, written by my friend Bill Janovitz. Pages that are sure to illuminate an artist who helped bring Tulsa's sound to life, who rather quietly weaved and tied people and music together from the Gap Band all the way to Elton John and George Harrison. And in 2021, Fire in Little Africa brought together the top rappers, singers, musicians, and visual artists in Oklahoma to commemorate the centennial of the 1921 massacre. Over 30 artists took over the Greenwood Cultural Center, and fittingly, the home of Tate Brady, the mastermind behind the terrorist attack. And Fire in Little Africa created an incredibly moving album and a short documentary. The music is a seminal piece of work and waiting for you on all platforms. By 1970, the Greenwood Archer Pine Band had shortened their name. But even as the Gap Band, they still failed to gain traction beyond those five-hour, sweat-drenched gigs on Admiral Street. One night, a crowd of drunk white boys stumbled into the club for the last two sets. Drunk or not, they couldn't help but be blown away by the same hypnotic groove that had been mesmerizing dancers all night. As the band packed up, the scrawny leader of the group, wearing mirrored shades despite the late hour, approached the band's lead singer, Charlie Wilson. A lifetime in Tulsa taught Charlie to tense up, but instead of malice, the man held out his hand in brotherhood. "Hell of a show," he said. And with that, he was gone. But a week later, Leon Russell came back, dead sober, and watched the full five-hour show. He hired the Gap Band to back him on the road and in the studio when he returned to Tulsa, full-time, to open Church Studios in 1972. His bombastic arrangements and skill in the studio, coupled with their rubbery, expansive funk, was a match made in heaven. A group of Tulsa boys speaking the same musical language in an inspired pairing that would eventually lead them all to worldwide stardom. Church Studios still stands today as both a monument to the past glories of Tulsa music history and, equally important, a working studio committed to bringing in top producers to work with local talent and nurture the next generation of Tulsa. It's a must visit for fans of Russell, Gap Band, and music history as a whole. Over the 1970s, artists like Tom Petty, Willie Nelson, Taj Mahal, Eric Clapton frequented Tulsa to record at Church Studios with Russell and many more. Later, it was owned by Stephen Ripley of the roots rock band The Tractors and has recently been renovated as a working studio and museum dedicated to Leon Russell's legacy. The music boom in Tulsa did not start by accident. It's built on the blood and sweat of hardworking musicians from Bob Wills up to today. Institutions like the Guthrie and Dylan Centers have added momentum, and hardworking nonprofits like Horton Records, Tulsa Creative Engine, and the Tulsa Film and Music Coalition have provided funding, mentorship, and focus on creating and celebrating an inclusive and diverse music ecosystem that has always existed, if sometimes only in the shadows. One more thing. Bob Dylan said life is about creating things and creating oneself. Dylan is not even involved with the Bob Dylan Center. He played three blocks away before it opened and didn't even visit. He did go to a minor league baseball game, though. Classic Bob. Too busy creating the self to reflect. He is happy with the archive and its connection to Guthrie. And indeed, he's glad the center is pulling in people where we need it most. As he puts it, in the casual hum of the heartland. Well, that's episode 10 of season 1 for Sound of Our Town. We have 12 episodes for you this season. And there's only two more left. Where are we going to end up? We'll find out next Thursday. What I'm going to ask you to do between now and then is leave us a review on Apple or just grab one episode that you really love and share it with someone you really love. Or someone you know who's going to one of the cities we covered. Or someone who lives there and just needs a little bit more sonic adventure. If you want to chat about the music scene in your city, hit us up on Instagram at Double Elvis and at Will Daily Official, or on Twitter at Double Elvis FM and at Will Daily. Sound of Our Town is a production of Double Elvis and iHeartRadio. The show is executively produced by Jake Brennan, Brady Sadler, and Carly Carioli for Double Elvis. Production assistance by Matt Bowden. The show is created, written, hosted, and scored by me, Will Daily. Additional writing on this episode by Patrick Coleman. For sources, see the show notes. For more of my music, you just gotta enter Will Daily on any of the music platforms that you enjoy. Just spell Daily, D-A-I-L-E-Y. You can also visit us at soundofourtownpod.com and willdaily.com. Special thanks to Chris Combs, Jesse Acock, Brian Horton, and Steve Jenkins. All right, I'm off to the next town. I'll see you soon, and thank you for your ears.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.